Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, a quick message before we start this episode of the Sunranto Show. Go download the Locker Room app at the iOS store if you have an iPhone. They're working on an Android version. And why? Because the Sunranto Show is going to be going live there in an interactive chat room every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central. So follow me at Sunranto Show, S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O-S-H-O-W, on the Locker Room app, and come join us at 6 p.m. on Tuesdays. You can be a part of it. You can be invited to speak. You can ask questions and be part of the conversation. Check out the Locker Room app at the iOS App Store. It is free. Do it. And now here's the show. Preview. Cubs. Hola, and welcome to the Sunranto Show preview edition. I'm Danny Rocket, one of the hosts of the Sunranto Show, and you know him. You might love him. You might be mad at him because he's an angry dude, but Michael Cotton over there. He's so angry he won't even have a logo on his hat today.
I haven't had a logo all season.
Logo
this is, hat. This is my new my new just blue Cubs hat. So I like this brand, and they don't make Cubs hats. So it's just a comfy hat.
It's just, it is the plainest hat I've ever seen in my life. And you represent nothing. It's just like you represent anti nothing.
I got my Rizzo shirt on though. So, you know, that's, I'm trying to rep the players a little more than this, this organization right now.
Yeah, right. So, well, we're not here to talk about fashion. That's our other podcast. So why don't we bring on the guest that we have today from the Platinum Sombrero podcast, Braves fan Doc. Come on in, Doc. How you doing, Doc?
I'm good. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm super excited to be here. I actually was a Cubs fan before I was a Braves fan.
Oh, you gotta elaborate on that, because that sounds weird.
Well, Danny, he doesn't have to elaborate. We know what happened. Huge Chip Carey fan. Just following Chip Carey. He's just following Chip Carey's his career wherever he goes. That's who Doc's a fan of.
No, that's absolutely true. I'm on Chip tour. When he goes to the Pirates after the Braves, I'm going to follow him over there too. I grew up late 80s, early 90s. It was always WGN in the afternoons and TBS at night. So, but at the time, it was like pre Glavin being anything. Maddox was still with the Cubs. You know, the big three hadn't fully formed yet. Chipper was nobody. But the Cubs had like Sandberg and Dawson and Grace and, that whole team. So really loved them back in the late 80s, early 90s. And then that's when I was living in North Carolina. And when I moved to Atlanta, it was also when the team got good. So I was 10 and I jumped off of the Cubs bandwagon. Sorry about that.
Well, then you had Maddox over there. So, right. You know, you're just like, you just follow him on over. Cubs wouldn't pay him. Braves would. Like, I think they gave him $1 more in a sandwich. And he's like, oh, look, I'll go on the Braves. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, so, and then that was a dynasty. Like they took the they were in the NL West.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, that was the strangest thing.
I remember that. Yeah,
before it went three divisions, the Braves were for no reason. I mean, honestly, no reason at all in the NL, except for they didn't have enough teams out there. But they were in the NL West, so that made it hard probably as a kid to stay up and watch. I mean, they played the Dodgers and the Padres and the Giants a ton. So those games are starting at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. for a Braves. Like, what was that like as a kid? That must have been strange.
Yeah, absolutely. And back then it was a little more, you know, you digest it in snippets. You don't really know exactly what you're looking for. You're just kind of looking to be entertained and you love the home runs and stuff. But like, you know, I wouldn't. My bedtime was like 9 o'clock or whatever. I didn't see the Braves play the Dodgers, so I was like 25.
Yeah. you were a home Braves fan.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, and yeah.
I have a question about the name Platinum Sobrero. Where does that come from exactly? Because it's a Braves centric podcast. I know you guys maybe talk about other parts of the major leagues too, but how did you come up with that name?
Well, we knew we were going to do it. Dylan reached out to me and he said, you know, he'd already had a show and he was all about the whole thing. And I was hoping I could just show up and talk. And then about an hour before we were going to record our first show, he was like, so we probably need a name. That hadn't occurred to either of us. So I think we just Googled baseball terms or something and we're going alphabetical through everything. We're like, it doesn't
matter. You got all the way to P before you came up with yeah. Oh my God.
Well, okay. Actually, is Platinum Sobrero a thing? How many strikeouts would that actually be?
That's 5 in one game.
Yeah.
Okay. That's 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Cause wait, what's 4? I know Golden is 3.
Golden is 4.
Golden is 4.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, and I was thinking Golden was 5. And Platinum was something above that, so I didn't know.
You know, you start getting into some of the really obscure metals. You know, you've got like the Unobtainium Sombrero, the Upsidazium Sombrero, which is like when you strike out 9 times in a doubleheader. Aaron Judge got the Upsidazium Sombrero last year.
Wow. Oh my God! Yeah, I want the Cubic Zirconium. Sombrero, the one 12. Where that's every strikeout is on a dropped third pitch, so right. You had to run to first every time.
Right, it's like special conditions once you get past 5.
Yeah, it's a fake strikeout.
So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Braves, the team you near and dear to your heart, and you know, we don't get to see much at all anymore. We didn't see it all last year because of COVID. This year, you know, we're gonna basically be done with you in April. Mm-hmm. And I really doubt we see you in October the way things seem to be going for us.
But for you never which know. Team? Yeah. For which team? We're both struggling big.
Well, Well,
people are picking you guys to at least do something. And, you know, obviously you're in a tougher division than the Cubs are with the Mets making so many moves. But slow start to the season. What are you, 4-6? Or you lost last night too, right?
4-7 now.
Four and seven now.
Hammered.
Yeah, that's worse than us. So I mean, and you're playing better teams. And I mean, we played the Pirates and went and broke even. Like, you know, so it's not even cute. But people are picking you guys. You know, you're supposed to be, according to famed baseball historian Pythagoras, you're supposed to be at least a 500 team with your runs scored versus runs against. But like, you made some moves in the offseason. You seem to have like this Max Fried dude who's going to light up the world. He was like 5th in Cy Young voting. Then he's getting shelled this year so far. Now he's hurt, which is maybe why he got shelled. So he was supposed to start Sunday. Now he's not. So there's a question there. And then, but you sign Ozuna, who we're quite familiar with from his time with the Cardinals. And I don't know, you seem, you know, Albies, like you seem to have like a team ready to pounce. Slow start. Are you worried?
The Sun Ranto Show is brought to you by Bet Online. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. And BetOnline.ag has all the betting action. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare to make their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, and I know it is, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup, BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates and is the place to be for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. So head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline. And we thank them for sponsoring the Sun Ranto Show.
About that much. Okay. Like last year was 60 games. Today's game 12. Okay. Which was 20% through last season. It seems crazy to think that 12 games would represent 1/5 of a season. And now it's like 7.4%. Okay. If this was the NFL, we'd be in the first quarter, the early part of the first quarter of the second game. Right. So it's still a long way to go. And some of the trouble areas, right, where it's like you're looking at the bullpen. Well, we knew that some of the better guys that we have, they have options. So they're down in Gwinnett so they can kind of game the system. They say, do we have anything with Nate Jones, who you might be familiar with from when he was playing across town with the White Sox? You know, he
no, do we never even watch any of those games.
That's no, not you just hate him.
Yeah, we
see him six times a year, and we always leave just saying, what the fuck, Bobby Abreu just destroyed us. Eloy Jimenez, we keep having to see him, right. You know, and Dylan Cease. That's all we know, players.
Anybody we once traded to them is all we really care about that happened and whether we won the trade. But here, I'll put up the bullpen or the guys that have pitched out of the bullpen. And so, like, what – you got Josh Tomlin from he was in the Indians before, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. He was a starter, and now he's not. I guess he's in your pen. Will Smith, who I think he came from, what, the Giants?
Yep.
I want to say. Matzik, didn't he come from the White Sox?
He was a really highly touted prospect with the Rockies who fell out of baseball.
Rockies, yeah.
Yeah, he got the yips real bad, and he found himself in indie ball. And we signed him at the end of 2019, and he seems to be back for now.
Sean Newcomb, he was on the Cubs, I think, for a while. I think we traded him to you. I don't think he really caught any games with us, but he was in our system. And so, yeah, tell me about this bullpen. I mean, is this who's blowing the games for you guys, or, like, what's the issue? Because there's a lot of high ERAs I'm noticing.
And even the guy who's got the zero ERA is the most frustrating pitcher. Oh, my God. Luke Jackson. Here's every Luke Jackson inning. He hits a guy, he walks a guy, he gets a double play, he walks two more guys, and then he gets a pop out on the infield. That's every Luke Jackson inning. There's five base runners, but nobody scores. So the fact that he's at the top of the list is an anomaly. Some of our guys last year performed better than they ever had before, like AJ Minter. Okay, he great in 2018, hurt 2019. Last year was a revelation. Started game five of the NLCS for us against the Dodgers. We lost the game, but that wasn't his fault. That was Will Smith's fault, who was also struggling. You know, Minter came out the other night and he just couldn't find the zone. Like, his breaking stuff was on, but his fastball was nowhere to be found. He walked like three guys. The only out that he got was on a stolen base or on a throw out on an attempted stolen base. Tomlin has been okay in spurts, but he got just destroyed by the Marlins when he came in last night. Pretty much you don't really have anywhere to go with our bullpen right now if you're looking for results, except for Matzik and maybe Newcomb because he throws 99 now. But last year we had a really good bullpen, so it's really stark by comparison.
And then you have Chris Martin from Coldplay. So pretty impressive that I didn't know he could sing and pitch. That's pretty nice. Well, don't worry about our bullpen because they have COVID. So we basically don't have a bullpen right now. We just have like whoever doesn't have COVID going up there and throwing. It's pretty special.
How many guys went on the IL because it was five?
Yeah, but nobody tested positive.
So actual players is four. Three okay. Bullpen, and then one Matt Duffy. And we're not sure what he does on the team, but yeah. That's why I just said Matt Duffy. And then a couple of the coaches, and Hendricks got pulled from his start yesterday, but according to the Cubs, he tested negative, but he just wasn't feeling good, so they didn't want to press it.
Yeah, okay. All the players tested negative. Two coaches tested positive, and they're gone right now. And but I think it's allergy season up here. And I really think, I've had a headache for like the last 3 days because of tree pollen. Mm-hmm. We're all in the same area. The trees are beautiful. They're budding. It's wonderful, but I cannot stand it. I can't think. I'm just like, can't even look at the screen sometimes. Like, it's been an on and off headache, and I think that it's just tough to tell. Allergy, COVID system. I know they're filling out something on their phones every day, and they also have like I think a meters that they like a wearable health meter or something that they have to wear too. I know different teams are doing it differently, but Ian Happ was talking about it on his podcast, which apparently he does instead of taking batting practice. So prepare for that thing and drink Parse rum from his sponsor. But so it's, we don't know what we're going to be throwing out there this week. And hopefully you guys don't come too into contact with our guys, because then you'll go down too. One guy I wanted to talk about that you signed in the offseason is Ozuna. Like, how you liking him?
He stepped in for Josh Donaldson. You know, Donaldson came in for 2019, had that 1 year, and then signed a big deal with the Twins. And we needed somebody similar to come in, and basically he's just like Josh Donaldson with a neon arm sleeve, you know, like all of the antics and all of the just absolutely smashing the ball every time he can. You know, last year was really impressive to watch. And this year, some of the guys you see that have like the really bad numbers in the lineup, like they're still hitting the ball really hard. They're just hitting right at guys. Ozuna up until yesterday was not hitting the ball hard whatsoever, but he's finally kind of getting there. We knew that with no DH this year, we were going to have to see him play the field. If you can hit one to left, his arm is not that great. I'm sure.
We're aware.
I've told him about himself many, many times because that's right where I sit in the left field well of the bleachers. And you're real close to me and Marcel are familiar with each other at this point. So unfortunately, I can't go this weekend. I will not be attending any of these games, unfortunately. And I'm really disappointed about it. When I saw you had picked up Ozuna, I'm like, no, we're friends. He'll remember my voice. But well, I'll put up the numbers here. I mean, these are just the qualified players. So actually, Ozuna so far batting 200. 579 OPS. Nobody's really knocking the cover off the ball except Ronald Acuna. Freddie Freeman's gotten off to a decent start. They both have four home runs. But you still really aren't hitting. I mean, it looks like a pretty potent offense there on paper when you're looking at it. You got Albies and Ozuna and Swanson, and you know, and then you kind of see how you're off to a start. I mean, Cubs are off to the worst start. We're 30th in baseball with OPS. We got shut out again today by the Brewers. But you guys are hovering like on the lower half of the league. Bats are kind of dead. But you are hitting home runs, but it's, you know, everything else, what are you just not hitting for average? It's like nobody's on when you're hitting over. It's like a bunch of solo shots. Like, what's going on?
That's kind of a lot of it. I mean, our lineup is very top heavy. You know, Christian Pache, his all world defender, he doesn't have the bat for it yet, but he's been playing every day. Austin Riley is very feast or famine. It's been a lot of famine for him. So, and the fact that pitchers are batting now, that's 7-8-9. That's a third of our lineup right there is really struggling. So you got Acuna, who is – we're going to talk about him in a minute. He's unbelievable. But then after that, you know, they just moved Albies down to five. So you're looking at Acuna, Freeman, Ozuna, Darno, Albies, Swanson for your top six. Back of the baseball card type stuff, these guys are, like, elite in some cases, you know. You can use those top six, but when you have 110 off the bat right at the second baseman – then, you know, what can you really do about it is other than chalk it up to bad BABIP luck and say, you know, we'll get him again next time. And you're starting to kind of see some of those numbers normalize. Freddie Freeman's BABIP was 0.38 going into yesterday's game, you know. So, yeah. That's not going to happen. And,
yeah. So what you're saying is bet the under on every on the game, on the series, on everything, because neither one of these teams is taking that runs total over.
Well, and you guys aren't walking either that much. You know, you're not taking your walks. And that's not good for the Cubs because, like, we get BABIPed to death. It's how the Pirates beat us. They just put it in play, and we are not there for it. And they get nine hits and just, you know, single, double, single, double, single, double, and all of a sudden the game's over. But you guys are, what, are you free swinging it? You're just up there, like, hacking away? Like, what's going on?
I think after 10, 11 games, guys are starting to get maybe a little, I don't want to say desperate, but starting to get a little frustrated with a lot of really good contact. And so now then it gets even shorter and you start to get, you know, your nerves start to act up a little bit. It's like, I gotta swing at this. I can hit this. And then you just roll over it, you know? I'm not particularly worried about this offense. It would be nice to see them be a little more patient, because Acuña is really the only one that's getting the results that are consistent with his actual performance. But it'll get there. You know, they'll remember it's a marathon, not a sprint, and everybody just calm down and let pitchers get themselves in trouble instead of trying to force the home runs and put them in trouble ourselves.
Yeah. And sorry, Michael, you going to say something?
No, I'm listening to what he's saying, and you could be talking about the Cubs. I mean, just trying to force the home run, mm-hmm. just, you know, getting in bad situations. Just, yeah, it's, well, it seems very similar.
And if you look across the major leagues, there's a lot of teams, and I won't say the Cubs were picked to be an average team this year. They weren't picked to really win by anybody. Just to be competitive.
Yeah, along with the rest of the NL Central.
The NL Central, except for the Pirates.
500 teams.
But if you look around at some of the records around the major leagues, a lot of teams are getting off to slow starts that were expected to do well. And as you mm-hmm. said, we're not even like, 7% or whatever it is into the season. So it's like, not time to freak out. The reason Cub fans are like, you're not worried about it. You're like, these guys will figure it out. See, the Cub thing, I think we are on the other end of that, because this is the crap that we've kind of seen, where the bats die. You know, we've got these Chris Bryants and your Anthony Rizzos and Javi Baez's, but now we've seen that offense break over mm-hmm. and over and over again. So now it just might be broken for good. And, you know, we can't blame COVID as much. You can't blame too much pressure or Joe Maddon leaving or any of the things that we've been blaming. Now it's just like, No, they never developed. They never were able to put together this, you know, you got to get over the hump in a career, you know, and your guys are still at the trajectory of going up. You're a little younger than the Cubs. We got a bunch of baby boomers ready to collect Social Security right now.
Well, I mean, you guys, at least you got the World Series title. You've had the championship hangover that's gone on for 4 years or so. And
that's right.
I mean, and when you look at just strictly name recognition, when you've got Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, Contreras, Hayward, Jock Peterson, those are names. It was like I was talking about with the Braves top six. Like, you trust the back of the baseball card as long as you can, probably longer than you should in a lot of cases.
That's right.
It gets you in trouble because, you know, you're trying to stake your future on something that happened in 2017 or something. But that's tricky. I mean, and you guys could turn it around. The way that your division is architected, I think, from an outsider perspective, I kind of like St. Louis to win it, as much as it pains me to say that, but just because of the Arenado thing. But aside from that, there wasn't anything that necessarily convinced me that the Cubs couldn't win the division. You know what I mean? It's like last year you had four playoff teams in that same division. It's amazing.
Yeah, and they all lost.
Yeah.
They were all – when you only have to play your division – apparently that's good for filling up all the expanded playoff spots, but it's not good for actually moving on in the tournament.
Yeah, and can we talk about a little bit about what happened last year? Because you got really far. I mean, you go 7 games with the Dodgers, and then you lose the last one just by a run. I mean, what was it? Final was 4-3 of that last game. And, I mean, you know, the Dodgers, they seemed somewhat – ordained, you know, I mean, not ordained, the Dodgers hit there and never push it through, but they needed like a COVID year to do it in a way. But was that, I mean, obviously that was disappointing to you, but were you just kind of like, no, we're going to be back another bite at the apple? Or were you like, oh man, that's it for another 5 years or whatever, you know?
Both of them. You know, that was the first time we'd won a playoff series in 19 years. And we made it so far. We had Tommy Malone and Robbie Erlin getting meaningful starts for us. And those dudes suck. They are so terrible. God, they're so bad. Like, neither of them made the playoff. Like, neither of them even finished the season with the team. It was like, all right, we're going to let Ian Anderson, who is a literal child, just pitch in the rotation for the rest of the year. And that's when things finally started to click for us. And it was like, you get the monkey off your back with the first playoff win. You know, you beat the Reds, and then you face the Marlins, and you take care of business, and you go up 2-0, and then you get your shit pushed in for game three. But then you come back and you've got Bryce Wilson, also a child, who outduels Clayton Kershaw, and it's 3-1. And then the Atlanta sports curse took over. It's like everybody could see it coming from a mile away. Everybody knew we were going to lose this series when we went up 3-1. Every single person knew it. So that part was disappointing. But
that's a bad feeling to have. I think that was maybe Cleveland had that sort of situation, you know, where they felt that because, you know, on our end, I don't know, after the first two losses at Wrigley, when we finally got down 3-1, everybody kind of flipped a switch and said, fine, fuck it. Let's just win.
Yeah.
And it happened. But the attitudes, I think maybe Cleveland had sort of that feeling too. Like, oh my God, all we have to do is just one, and you get real tight.
Yeah.
Because you only need the one, but you're playing the team that everybody expects to win. You know, and it's a bit of a, I don't know, there's some psychological stuff going on there. And, you know, the Braves are a bit of a younger team, right? I mean, they hadn't been to the playoffs. It was a weird year anyway. So
that was one thing that I kept saying to people is like, the last time the Braves won a playoff series, Ronald Acuna was like 3 years old. Okay. And all of the different playoff losses, the outfield fly rule thing, getting beat up by the Dodgers in 2013, the 2018, also the God, it's always the freaking Dodgers.
Yeah.
God, I hate, we hate how the good Dodgers. They are.
It was nice to hear that you hate the Cardinals too, because Cub fans appreciate that.
I do remember that from my time as a Cubs fan. If you want to endear yourself to somebody from Chicago, just say you hate the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, easy.
But
low-hanging fruit.
The Sun Ranto Show is brought to you by K-Nun Sunglasses. Your outdoor experiences could be better, clearly better. And K-Nun sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. Using Japanese optics, K-Nun's lenses are clearer, lighter, and stronger than other lenses and are nearly impossible to scratch. With frames handcrafted in Italy, K-Nun sunglasses elevate your experiences outside with a degree of clarity beyond your wildest imagination. Use the exclusive code KananCast15 at Kanan.com to receive 15% off your first pair. That's KANONCAST15. Kanan. Clearly better. The Sun Ranto Show is also brought to you by BetOnline. Did you know that it's that time of year? That time of year when baseball and basketball are heating up, and it's the start of baseball and the end of basketball. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as teams prepare for their run for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, and I know it is, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup, and BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates. And it's the place to be for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline.
Yeah, well, sure. But 2019 NLDS Game 5. Like I said, Atlanta sports curse. We get this close and then it's like, oh, we're going to beat your brains in. But I knew that last year had the chance to be special. But also knowing Acuna was 22, Albies is 23, you know, the team is still very young. You know that they're going to make a deep run. We just crawled out of our rebuild. You know, you can still see signs of it sometimes. So I know that, I think that's part of why I'm so patient with this year, knowing that the actual raw talent exists and that we can make a run. But man, we were so close. God, we were so close. I've replayed so many different parts of games. 5, 6, and 7 over the past 6 months.
Just if the ball bounced that way, or if that was called a strike, or if they didn't do that, or they didn't change the pitcher, like all the little things. Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you're still having that experience. Cause like honestly, like last year, I don't think the Cubs scored one run
in their two games with the Marlins, and it was a solo home run that barely made it into the basket for me and Hap. So it's like, you know, Michael, was that the game we were at?
Yes, yeah, it right. was.
Okay.
It was nice of Hap to take time off of his podcast. And
yeah, to hit a home run. It was nice.
I think everyone else on the team was actually in the clubhouse recording his podcast. He's like, hold on, guys. I'm going to run out there and take one at bat because nobody else showed up.
Yeah. Well, I did want to do a little bit of comparative stats here, just like some of the more extreme ones.
Yeah.
You said the team didn't – the Braves aren't walking much, but you might want to start now because the Cubs pitchers – have walked the third most in the major league so far. And it's looking cute. They're just like, they're just staying there. No, it's all you got to do. And they just keep walking dudes. I mean, what are they walking? Two guys, Shelby Miller, ex Brave. Mm-hmm. And, he came in. He's back, kind of.
He's there.
Yeah, he had a warm up. He had a warm up inning today.
Well, the only reason he's in there is because of COVID, and then only reason he's in there is because of I guess he had some opt-out clause if the Cubs did not call him up from the alternate site. So they brought him up, and they sent down a guy with options. Shelby Miller just really shit the bed today, and it was like, you know, but it's not just him. There's a lot of guys out of our bullpen. That's really where the walks are coming from. So you can be as patient as possible. So that's something to look for. Nobody's really given up home runs. It's going to be cold at Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with both these offenses struggling to start the year, I mean, you know, maybe we get, now that I'm going to say it's going to be 3-2, it'll be, you know, 10-8 or something like that. But that was that wild game against the Braves. If you remember a few years ago at Wrigley Field.
Oh, 3 years ago today.
Oh yeah, that rain. Yeah. Was it today? Danny was at that game, weren't you, Danny?
No, I was smart and didn't go.
You skipped that one.
People were trying to give me tickets to that one. Oh, you're sure you want to go down there? I'm like, hell no. It was like raining sideways, hail coming through. Mm-hmm. No, I was gonna go and I didn't go. I had a ticket and I had multiple tickets to that game that I did not pay for and I did not go. Lots of people didn't want to go to that one, but yeah, that was wild. What was the? And it shouldn't have been played. I mean, I feel bad for the Braves fans on that one because I was just like, you couldn't see. Cubs are hitting the ball like up into like basically a hailstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell, I mean, golf ball sized hail. You can't even tell what the ball is and what a hail piece is. You know, it's just, it was insane.
Well, even Madden came out after the game and the winning manager, when he comes out and says, yeah, there's no reason for that game to have been played. It's, you know, that was. Yeah.
I guess it was the Braves' only trip to Wrigley, and they just wanted to get it in. It was a getaway. I think it was maybe the last game of the – no, I think it was a Friday or something, I want to say.
It sounds about right. I mean, it was –
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, backtrack on the calendar in my mind. Why?
Well, yeah. I mean, why is MLB? They're terrible at scheduling, and – their bad scheduling leads to situations throughout every single season where teams have to play through stupid shit, or you have to wait 5 hours before you start a game because they just have to get it in, all that crazy stuff. And, you know, all they need to do is just have a day off every week that you can just do those games.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah, but they don't. Never. So another thing I wanted to ask you about the Braves, I mean, just because it's huge news right now. In fact, like, it was just announced that Republicans are now trying to take away, there's a bill to take away Major League Baseball's antitrust exemption, which has been around since like 1920.
Mm-hmm.
Because Major League Baseball decided to take the All-Star game away from Atlanta due to Georgia's Voting Rights Act, which I guess the Players Alliance, you know, the story, the Players Alliance said, hey, we don't like this law. We want to speak out about it. I mean, it's not just them. It's like Will Smith pulled the film out of Atlanta. A lot of filming happens in Atlanta. Hollywood has moved there recently and film a lot of shows down there. So I just kind of wanted to get an on the ground perspective about, like, hey, you don't have to tell me about the voting rights law and stuff, but maybe from a Braves perspective about, like, you know, kind of, you know, I guess, yeah, how do you feel about everything that has gone on, and how are Atlanta Braves fans reacting to it? I would imagine that it's split.
Very, very much. It's with something like this, it's really important to try and keep the politics out of it where you can. But for every subsequent move, it becomes a little bit more of a partisan thing, you know? It's if you can remove the politics from it, what you find is like, you know, this was supposed to be like the first weekend of the year where it was going to be like full capacity at Truist Park. And, you know, this next homestand, they're going from 33% to 50. All-Star game is going to be like 100. So this is going to be like a big celebration thing. Hank Aaron, Phil Niekro passed this year. This is going to be a big deal, huge tributes. And now that it's not going to be there, you've got 42,000 individual stories for why that's a big deal. And when you're Rob Manfred and you're getting your hands somewhere that maybe they don't belong, you're not thinking about my buddy Jason and his wife Kaylee and their son Cam, who are going to go to the All-Star game. And then my buddy was going to take his 10-year-old son to the Home Run Derby. How do you explain to your 10-year-old son all of that and have it not just be heartbreaking? That's the bottom line on all of this. It was like, you have, and that's just one story. You know, you multiply that times all the different people that were going to be in that stadium who don't get to have this once in a lifetime experience.
They might get it next year if they get rid of the law.
Nah, I think this, you know, it's not the first time that an All-Star game has been taken out of a city for political reasons, you know, but it sucked then too. So it's hard. And it's because it's so hard to talk politics and you're in a place where, you know, Georgia was a red state for a long time until this past election and it went blue. And so there's deep political tensions to begin with. And you start messing with somebody's baseball and you start messing with somebody's baseball memories. Baseball memories are sacred, man. You don't do that.
Well, technically you didn't have the memory yet because it never happened.
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah. I don't know. And Manfred, I think, is listening to the Players Alliance too. I don't think you know, we've talked about it on this podcast, the ownership and Rob Manfred, these are not liberals running the show, you know, and I would say even, you know, baseball players in general, but the Players Alliance, you know, wanted something done based on this law. And, you know, I don't know. It's tough, but
I was a little surprised about it. I think the only thing that is, I was surprised they did that. And the reason was partly for the reason of the Hank Aaron passing away this year. And I'm like, really? Like that, what could have been big. And then I'm like, oh, they'll move it to Milwaukee. And then and that smelled like Bud Selig to me. I was like, oh, yeah. Bud Selig's trying to get that money. Milwaukee's about to arrive. They got some good players. You know, they'll probably have a good showing in the All-Star game this year, except for nobody will vote for them because nobody cares about the Brewers. But, I was a little surprised for those reasons and the fact that Atlanta is a very black city, you know, and you look at a state like Georgia, it is segregated in that way. I mean, the cities are going to be, you know, definitely have a lot more diversity as part of them. And then probably you go out in those exurbs and it's just, you know, white gated communities. And like, they're probably not understanding this at all. You know, so you see, I mean, it's the old South, you know, it's like, you're going to have these deep seated kind of divisions. But at the same time, it's like, it would have seemed like Atlanta. I've been to Atlanta and I was just like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is just like, you felt like you were in a city. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, it's different than Chicago. Chicago's segregated in a very, and you could tell where you are based upon where you are. I mean, you'd know whether you're supposed to be there or not.
I know what you mean.
You know, whereas I didn't have that feeling in Atlanta. I felt like people were living together in a less segregated way than even in some of the northern cities that I've visited. I don't know if that's your perception. I was there a long time ago, like whatever. I just felt like people were living together in a different way than they do in the northern cities. And then I was a little surprised, but that they took it away. But one thing I was glad about is that everybody like read the law and had an opinion on it.
Even people who read it have different takeaways for what it means versus, you know, you got to contrast the new one with the old one. And what is it really saying? And does it really say you can't give water to people? You really can't do this. You really can't do that. I mean, there's a lot of the people that read it were just looking. It was like confirmation bias. They were looking for ways to validate the thoughts that they had about it already.
And, right. And then they emphasized the parts that supported what they thought, and right. they de-emphasized the other parts. And yeah.
Well, so. it's a difficult thing. It is kind of weird to see it. By the way, the whole thing smells like Theo Epstein to me, because Theo Epstein's now in the front office. He was doing a lot of work here in Chicago. We had a lot of unrest last year in our city, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. I mean, there's a lot of shit that goes on here. So, like, you know, I'm kind of glad to see people standing up for themselves. But at the same time, it's like Theo, I think one of the reasons he left the Cubs was to go be a bigger part of, you know, the idea that, you know, black people playing baseball has just been diminished over the course of the last last few decades, you know.
Last 30 years, yeah.
Last 30 years.
86, I think, was the high point.
Yeah, so I think it's something they want to address, because this is an American sport, and you know, and it's also, you're trying to grow it internationally, but at the same time, because of lots of different reasons, which we won't go into right now, but we've gone into on the show before, you know, it seemed like the opportunities became a lot less over the last few years because of things like travel baseball,
yeah.
and just even like the difference between urban development and parks and opportunities to play baseball, even city baseball, league baseball for children. So basketball took over, football took over, other sports that were lot more.
Danny, in that, I mean, I think we could talk about Atlanta's new ballpark, right? Because it's farther, like they're just moving farther and farther away from the city, if I'm understanding where it's at. But
eight miles. That? The Truist Park is 8 miles from Turner Field. The old park. They just moved it up into a wider neighborhood.
Right, yeah. away from the city, away from their city. See, and that's, you know, that just makes it, it's 8 miles from that place, but it is still 8 more miles from a ballpark that all was not in the city. I mean, we are blessed with two ballparks in the middle of our city, you know, Wrigley in an absolute like neighborhood, you know, and then, you know, even on the south side, the Great is on a, you know, right on a train line, you know, it's near where their fans live. They can get there easily.
Yeah.
But I just hear a lot about how Atlanta's field wasn't easy to get to in the first place and still isn't all that easy to get there.
Well, it really was a hassle getting down there. And there were promises from the city. They were supposed to build up that area. Like what Truist Park is now with the Battery surrounding it was what the vision for Turner Field was always supposed to be. They just never made it there. And
ownership. That's the ownership pitch for every city. Hey, we're going to build a field. And when we build a field, all this, like, it'll just be spontaneous capitalism everywhere and everybody will make millions.
Just think of all the commerce we can generate. I mean, going down to the Battery is cool, man. Like they've got all the shops and the restaurants and everything. It's a really good way to spend time. And like, I've gone down there on not even on game day. It's really cool. And it's a real 180 from being at Turner Field, where there were times where, you know, opening day 2014, I paid $50 to park in some dude's yard and I spent the whole game going, is my car even going to be there when I get back to it? You know, I mean, there were some questionable areas that were down there. You know what I mean? So
because I guess the unbridled capitalism never happened.
Yeah. They never capitalized on all of the commercial opportunities that they had down there.
The rent, as in most of these places, the rents went up before anybody made any money, and then they couldn't afford to even move in the first place.
And everybody left. Yeah. So, and then the other awkward question I want to ask you is about the Braves, you know, the Indians. They're not the Indians anymore. And I know that, I mean, I know that Cleveland will fall. Like, they already fell. That's going to go.
Yeah.
Seems like Atlanta's going to be a tougher sell down there. You know, do you think that there's is there, because I don't even hear any conversation that they're even thinking about changing their name. But I'm sure that you guys talk about it with, you know, they don't do the laughing Indian logo anymore.
Yeah,
that's canceled.
Yeah, that and Chief Wahoo both, they decided to leave both of those in the 20th
You're
century.
Still doing the chop. They're still doing the chop. And I don't know if that's if they're going to stop playing that on the Oregon. Like, are they going to do anything? I know Helsley for the Cardinals took exception, you know, and then so that made it, then that made people do it more because they're assholes. You know, like, you know, I mean, just, oh, if he doesn't like it, oh, we'll do it more. Oh,
right,
we'll
do it
with both hands. Oh, you know.
Those people are everywhere.
Yeah, well, I know. That's what I'm saying. I've been there. I've been down there. Yeah.
I mean, okay, so about the chop, you know, the Ryan Helsley thing, he said that right before game five of the 2019 NLDS. And so when I was there for game two, and there was a red foam tomahawk on every single seat when you walk in the place. Visually, very stunning. As long as you don't mind the whole cultural appropriation thing that goes along with it. And they would fire up the drum and they get the chant coming in through the PA speakers. And it's just like, I've never been a big fan of the chop. But I get it. I understand why people do it. And,
yeah, it's fun to do that. I mean, it's fun to sing together. It's fun to go like do our motion together. I get it. But it's just like,
it's a little, it's not great. We'll just say it's not great. And so they stopped triggering the chop, you know, in 2020, luckily, you know, they were just like, okay, we can have like a gap year where we can just say, oh, we were going to not do that anyway. No fans in the state. We didn't chop at all in 2020.
Right.
And I've heard on games, I haven't had a chance to get down to one yet, but you can hear people spontaneously breaking out into the chop, but I don't think that they're triggering it over the PA, but I'm not positive about that. But, as soon as the Redskins became the Washington football team, I'm like, I give it 10 years. The Braves will not be the Braves anymore. And it's going to be really interesting to go back and watch Major League with the Indians not being the Indians anymore, because they got the whole thing with Joe Boo and, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, that would talk about a different time in a movie that didn't age well. It's like,
well, a lot of movies are like that. Well, I mean, have you seen Porky's Revenge recently? Oh
yeah,
God.
I mean,
yeah, I'm gonna go grab. I'm gonna go stream Blazing Saddles after this.
Yeah,
when you watch Major League, like, it's the racism in it actually gets, you know, overcome by the stalker love story that's throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, it gets real rapey too. And then it's horrible. Like, the dude
keeps walking into this woman's apartment when she doesn't want him there.
It's like, did she really not notice that the Cleveland Indians bullpen car was following her down the freeway? There's no way he kept up with her. There's no way.
Well, it's like the guy that plays the drum at, I want to say Municipal Stadium, but that's obviously like Jacobs Field or whatever the hell Progressive, yeah, whatever they call it now. His name is John Adams, and he actually, his name's really John Adams. Super nice dude. My band, I'm a musician too. We played across the street, right across the street, and played a bunch of gigs. Cleveland's not that far. So anyway, super nice guy. He plays with the orchestra there in Cleveland. He's actually a serious percussionist. He's a classical musician, and he goes to all the Indians games and he plays that big drum. So I don't even know what they're going to do with him, because he's been there forever. He's got season tickets. He brings the drum. He buys a ticket for the drum as well, because they won't let him in because it takes too much room. So, you know, it's a whole thing. But now it's over. Like, you know, in Cleveland baseball team, we don't know what they're going to do. Like, we're hoping the Spiders or something like that, because that's an old name. But if they do change it, like, have you had conversations with you and your other Braves fans, friends, about what it should be changed to?
Right after Hank Aaron died, there was some momentum from a lot of fans that wanted to change the name of the team to the Hammers. And
That'd be interesting. And then you keep the tomahawk turns into a hammer.
Right,
you keep the fucking chant, like, it's all there.
See, and you know, you got both sides of the hammer, right? So it's like a dual threat weapon. You know, and I kind of like that. And you could even, if you wanted to, I know that a guy named Ryan Cothran, who does another Braves podcast, he designed some shirts that was like a take on the Braves logo, but instead of the tomahawk, it had like the hammer and, you know, the hammers and script and everything. So that, something like that's cool. I don't know if they would be willing to, if they didn't name the stadium after him, I don't know if they would name the entire team after him. I think something like Hank Aaron Park or Hank Aaron Field at Truist Park would be a nice tribute. But
it would have... I hate when they do that, when they're not going to get rid of the sponsor, you know, but they're going to have a name and then it's 47 words long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Michael, look at our team. Like, we're named after a brand that doesn't even own the team. They don't even pay naming rights. Like, this is just an old owner who is an old asshole who fucked up the Cubs for years and years and years. And we're like, it's tradition to have his stupid name on it. Like, are you kidding me? Like, right. We have the worst freaking name of a ballpark. It was like, no, it's classic. It's like, people don't even understand that it is the first corporate sponsorship and we don't even get money off of it.
Dude, you don't even have the worst ballpark name in your own city.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
No, Wrigley Field is, I mean, it's a national landmark now. Like, yeah. We got it. Now we're stuck with it, you know, forever. Yeah. But it's the dumbest thing ever. People act like it's like this like original thing to do. And I'm like, no, it's the original ad.
Well, so, I think it's funny because kids do think it's, you know, it's a Wrigley ad. It's a naming rights sort of thing. There are kids these
kids
days.
Don't even because shoot when we, they don't
yeah,
shoot
when we them. Came up, I mean, they had names like Municipal Stadium or Fulton County Field or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, these were the names of the stadiums. They didn't have that. Like, Wrigley was the weird one because it actually had a sort of a brand to it.
That's pretty true. I never actually considered that before. That's
yeah.
Well, and they technically named it after the owner. Like, the owner named it after himself. So it wasn't like a full on, like, Wrigley is sponsoring this, but
right.
One in the same when Wrigley owns Wrigley Gum.
Well, I'd be all for the hammers. I think that'd be cool. I do agree it'll probably change, you know, and a lot of people will be very angry about it and then they'll get over it and it'll be fine.
Well, when I know that when Ted Turner bought the Braves back in the 70s, you know, we've got the Hawks and the Falcons, and we had the Thrashers before. That was the second hockey team we lost to Canada. But I know that Turner wanted to change the name to the Atlantic Eagles, just to keep it the avian theme. So, and something like that would be kind of cool. And, you know, you don't have Eagles in baseball right now. So,
yeah.
Wouldn't hate it.
There were the Newark. No, Newark Bears. What was it? There was some Eagles team, but I think they were like semi-pro. I forget. Yeah, I was thinking what a cool name, because you got that cool – I went to the Underground, the Atlanta Underground. Like, I thought that would be like kind of a weird, fun name if you called it the Atlanta Underground. And it was just like you had like shadow uniforms or like, I don't know. It'd be cool. Like, you dress like spies or something. Have black turtlenecks or something.
Right. No, I really like that. I kind of like the Miami Heat or the Utah Jazz, where it's like – it's like a concept. It's not.
Yeah,
like
yeah. It's a yeah. It's like a concept name that, you know, is nebulous in its approach to like what you'd think of for a mascot. But it's also, they'll never do that. I think the Hammers. They could do. You know, and they're like, we'll keep the chop. We'll do the thing. You know, they'll understand that. Like, you can't dumb it down enough, really, for these people sometimes. So, well, let's talk about this series a little bit. I'm going to bring back the scavenger hunt. This is something we do on this show. If you're going to the game, I want you to go. We're playing the Braves, so go do something brave around Wrigley Field. and then tweet about it. Tag me, and then you will be entered into a contest to win a Matt Kammerer art piece, which you can see a few of behind
Please
me on the wall.
Run into a burning building, save some children. You know, or grab a cat out of a tree.
But make sure you take a selfie while you're doing that, because otherwise you're not entered.
Right.
So it's going to be cold by Wrigley, so you have to kind of be brave to go to the ballpark in the first place, because it's Friday is going to be, and you know, if you could see, it's going to be sunny, only a 7% chance of rain, which means it'll definitely rain.
But it's 46 degrees. And when it's sunny in Chicago at this time of year, it often means cold. And it's kind of one of those weird things. It's like you don't get the cloud cover to keep the moisture in. And so 46 on Friday and 47 on Saturday. And then only 50 for the night game, down to 41 on Sunday. That game starts at 6 o'clock. So it's going to be cold out there. I mean, once again, take the under, I think, on some of these. Game one, we got lefty Drew Smyly. Michael, I had been told the Cubs didn't have to face left-handed pitching this year. But weren't we told that that we didn't need any righty bats?
Yeah, I mean, we were told that there are no left-handed pitchers in the Central, and if we see any of these teams from outside of the division, there's a really good chance we won't see their lefty.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we're seeing ex-Cub rehab project, Drew Smyly, who, I mean, I watched him pitch in a Cubs uniform one time on the side of the ballpark before the game, as our good friend John Baker caught a simulated game from Drew Smyly as he recovered from injury. Yeah. So anything that Drew Smyly does good, it's because of the Cubs, and you're welcome.
Yeah, were you aware of that, Doc? The Cubs paid Drew Smyly like $1.2 million for two years of just rehab work.
No, it was more.
It was more than that?
Yeah, no, it was like 2 years of rehab. I swear to God, they gave him more. It was like $7
million. Oh my! Somebody in the chat will tell us.
To exaggerate for entertainment's sake.
Yeah.
But here's the Cubs numbers. Not a lot to talk about. Our Cubs numbers against Smyly. Jake Marisnyk's seen him the most, and he has a home run, but that's it. 1 for 5. Sogard's seen him. He's 1 for 3 with a home run, 2. And Rizzo's got a dong off of him, and it's 2 for 3. But we just haven't seen him all that much. Now they haven't announced who's going to go for the Cubs, but because of COVID and stuff, we don't know what they're going to do with Hendricks, because Hendricks got pushed back. So I'm imagining that there's going to be some combination of Davies and Trevor Williams, and also Hendricks pitching in this, but I don't know. Maybe Hendricks actually does have COVID, and we won't see him at all. So I don't. I don't know what the hell we'll do, to be honest.
Yeah, then they might call one of us.
Yeah, which that it actually might go better. So so here's Zach Davies. He'll be out there at least in one of these games. And it has not gone well for Zach Davies against current members of the Atlanta Braves. Marcell Ozuna has seen him a lot, and he's 7 for 20. So he's just spraying the ball all over the field like he does. Sandoval likes hitting off of him too. He's 4 for 11, and he's got a home run. But that's the only home run that's happened. But either way, like in 51 plate appearances, the Braves are batting .370 with a .930 OPS. So. Not that fun. They like the slow stuff.
You may have noticed numerous ads throughout this show. And wow, what a waste of your time. I don't want to waste your time. So go to patreon.com/sunranto. patreon.com/sunranto. And for $1 a month, or like $11 if you pay all at once, you can listen to the Sun Ranto show early and ad-free. That is my message to you. $1 is all it will take to save you from advertising. Your own RSS feed delivered straight to the podcatcher of your choice from Patreon. Just do it. $1, $2, $3, $5. There's perks at all levels. I'm wasting your time right now, and I'm going really slowly just so you understand the gravity of this situation, how your time is just ticking away, your infinite time that is finite within your worldly presence, ticking away slowly with me talking uselessly about patreon.com/sunranto, where you should go, and for a dollar, a measly tiny dollar, or $3, you could not be listening to this right now as I waste your time, because you're not a Patreon subscriber. Support our show, please. Patreon.com/sunranto. No more wasting time for you or me or anybody else. Patreon.com/sunranto. No more ads, people. No more advertising.
And then the Cubs in game two are going to face Oscar. Oscar, am I saying that right?
Oscar Inoa. Oscar Inoa, yes, sir.
Oscar Inoa. The H is silent. And anyway, this guy, he's freaking beast so far. I mean, these are his numbers. Cubs have never faced him, which is not good for us. But listen, this year so far, 15 strikeouts in 12 innings, two starts, and then one relief appearance. And that's good for an ERA plus of 536. It's incredible. This guy's a beast, isn't he?
He was never, during our rebuild, we acquired 1,000 pitchers, and some of them turned out really good, like Max Fried, Mike Soroka, Ian Anderson. Some of those guys have been amazing. And Noah was a guy we got for one start of Jaime Garcia in 2017 before they flipped him. We traded him to the Twins, and then the Twins flipped him to the Yankees. And this guy, he threw like 6 different pitches, and the whole knock on him was he's throwing too much. How much can he refine? The highest he ranked in our system was like 12th or something. And he always had good velocity. And this offseason, he changed his arm slot to come like 3/4. And his slider, man, I'm excited for you guys to see this guy's slider. If you are able to separate and just kind of be a baseball fan and like watching somebody pitch, Oscar Inoa's slider is the real deal. It is the real deal. Now, he's only had 2 starts. He's put up 11 innings in those starts. He's looked really good, but I mean, the sample size is like that big. So,
yeah.
So we will see, but I'm really excited to watch him.
Well, we've never seen him before, which means we will flail helplessly at every single one of his pitches. And Javi Baez should probably not start this baseball game because he will swing at anything right now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to be Oscar could throw it in the dugout in Hollywood and Javi will swing at it. It's not even funny. So that slider, if it's working for him and fooling, does he throw it for a strike or is it like a fool you pitch?
It's both. He's got some that he can do. Like when he's throwing it as his wipeout, if he's going for strike 3, it'll just die and start to die about like 5 feet in front of the plate. And you get a lot of strikes with the ball on the ground.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of like half swings being like rung up off this guy. Just because if he's deceptive with that slider and he's throwing it a lot, which it sounds like he does, it's his number one pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, he does that in 4-seam. He lives off of those two like 85% of the time, and he can touch like 99-100. So cool. Yeah, and the consistency with his arm slot is what he tunnels really really well. So. The half swings and just like grown men who are really good hitters. But I mean, once again, you look at your lineup, you look at the names, that's long careers for all of them. And for as many guys who have been slow to start, you're starting to see coming around. There is equal possibility that Inoa is going to give up 8 runs and 1 1/3. And everybody will be laughing about my compliments on a slider. So,
yeah, we'll see how far that slider can go into the bleachers.
Well, hopefully foul.
And then I'm guessing Williams is going to go out there on Saturday. I'm guessing this. You guys just picked up Orlando Arcia, who we're very familiar with from being on the Brewers. That was just a very recent trade for you guys. And now this guy, I mean, he's not a world beater, Orlando Arcia, but you're about to find out how he's a Cub killer. And that he will be in the middle of every single game-winning play that you'll have. Arcia will be there because he just loves fucking with Cub fans. Marcell Ozuna, always tough on us. Look at that, batting 438. against Trevor Williams. And it's, you know, 7 for 16 with the double. A lot of singles, though, with Ozuna. But he's a table setter. But then nobody else really has seen him all that much on your team. So,
well, here's one thing you can take comfort of with about Arcia is that he got optioned down to the alt training site. I don't know if it was because of COVID protocols or what, but he still hasn't been activated. So it's possible there's going to be some shuffling before Friday happens, because I know that they're going to probably send back down Tucker Davidson, who we called up today, to get Bryce Wilson in there to start. So you might see.
Now, are we gonna see Bryce Wilson on Sunday, you think? Or are they going to switch that around too? Because I know you guys have games tonight and you have a game tomorrow. Cubs have an off day. So, okay. Yeah, so we'll be, our bullpen will be rested. That's the only good thing I can say. Is that our shitty armed bullpen will be fully rested, and hopefully they won't have COVID anymore.
Well, our shitty armed bullpen will be tired. So that could bode well for you guys. Yeah. I would guess that the way they're going to play this is we've got Charlie Morton going tonight. He's our two. Ian Anderson tomorrow to pitch the afternoon game. Smiley Friday and Noah Saturday. And then Bryce Wilson in Max Fried's spot on Sunday. There was a lot of talk about who was going to fill Mike Soroka's spot in the rotation for that fifth spot. Everybody thought it was going to be Bryce Wilson because he had a really good spring, and Noah was pretty uneven as far as results go, but ultimately Inoa won the job. So now that Fried is out, Wilson is going to step in. He's been pitching every 5 days, just kind of waiting for his opportunity, and I bet he didn't think he was even get one already.
Well, the Cubs haven't really seen him too much, but the most at-bats against him are Bryant and Rizzo. Each have three, and Rizzo is 2 for 3 off of him, so with a walk. So there's really nothing to see here. That's the super small sample size. But if we can extrapolate out a .444 batting average in 10 plate appearances for the Cubs, I'd say that at least it went well. Baez and Hayward hit him too. So
I remember the game where a lot of that happened too.
Yeah. So, and then I'm guessing, you know, if it's not Kyle Hendricks, I don't know who it'll be. But once again, Marcell Ozuna, batting .375, two home runs, OPS over 1,000 off of him. And then it kind of drops off from there. But overall, .291 batting average in 121 plate appearances and .832 OPS. We got a couple guys that were thrown up there that they pitch slowly. You know, Zach Davies and Kyle Hendricks. And you have a kind of a contact team.
Mm-hmm.
That likes to put it in play. If our defense is not positioned well, we're screwed. And we already saw that with the Pirates, because they just put the ball in play and we're like, oh, what a novel idea. Hit the ball and maybe it hits some grass and you can like move dudes around the bases and score runs. We haven't figured that out. We haven't even put up 5 runs in a game yet. Or no, I think that is our top.
No, 7 runs. We haven't hit 7 runs in a game yet. We're the only team to not have hit that mark.
Yeah.
Only one other team is the Mets, I think, have done it once. Everybody else has done it more than 2 times.
Yeah. So there's your matchups. I mean, right now the Cubs are just scuffling so hard. There is no joy in Mudville. I don't have a lot of hope, but it's going to be cold and you're a warm weather team. Maybe you tighten up and the Cubs know what they're doing. I mean, I'm grasping at straws here, Doc. I'm trying as hard as I can.
Hey man, you were facing us at a really good time, probably. You know, things. I think you know the All-Star game happened on like the second game of the season, and this team's luck this year, like it's baseball, right? Sometimes you're the pigeon, sometimes you're the statue, and a lot of times this year we've been the statue where we had some really good luck the past couple of years. We had all the bleeders and those little doink bloop hits that just drive you nuts. We've had a million of them, and this year we've had them all exacted back upon us. So you take the All-Star game stuff, the fact that we're struggling, the guys are kind of getting there, but they're not there yet. Like you said, cold weather team, bullpen that maybe they're going to walk you, but we're pretty aggressive because we're starting to get a little nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things could go well. I mean, we're 4-7. What's? Yeah, you said that we're worse than you, right?
Yeah, slightly. We also, I believe, only have 4 wins. Aren't we 4-7 now too after today?
No,
4-6. I mean,
we're 5-6.
5-6.
Five and seven after today.
I don't even know.
Sorry, I'm pretty sure we're 5-7.
But I lost track of our mediocrity somewhere along the way.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be, it is going to be a battle of attrition here. I don't know. There's going to be
whoever
some
sucks least wins.
I know we're going to end up with some 11 inning 0-0. Mm-hmm. They're going to load the bases because we can't even bring in the one guy.
Well, and the worst thing is on Sunday, we all got to deal with A-Rod.
Oh, God.
That's an ESPN. Yeah, it's really.
Oh, and God. I heard Shambi talking about that today. And he was saying, even though it's ESPN at Wrigley Field, he has to do it remotely because he's got to be on the same link with the ESPN guys who are not coming in. Oh, so he can't be at Wrigley in the booth where he sits literally every day because he's going to be on ESPN with that crew calling the game.
Man, this pandemic could just get stupider all the time. I can't even believe how dumb it is. Yeah. I'm so sick of it. All right. Well, I really appreciate it. Do you have any predictions for this? I mean, we just kind of gave them, I guess.
I'll say that the Braves will win 2, Cubs will win 1, but one of the wins that we get is going to be just a complete sham. Kind of similar to the Alec Boehm never touching the plate.
Oh, I wanted to bring that up. That was last Sunday night baseball. That was bullshit. Like, you know, I hate the Phillies too. Like, you know, screw that, man. That was ridiculous. No, that was dumb. I agree with you. That was talk about bad luck. You know, you get the All-Star game, Boehm scores without touching the plate. Like, it's just like terrible. And this just in, Lil Yumper says this is the Drew Smyly deal. 3-year, $1 million, 7-year, $2 million, and then a buyout. And Nick G says $10 million with incentives. So it was some kind of structured deal. But
he didn't stay with the Cubs. He was there 1 year, so they gave him $3 million for that 1 year, and then the next year he ended up with when I was looking at his contract, and next year he was with the Rangers.
Rangers, yeah. So maybe the Rangers had to pay him that, and I'm not sure what it was, but he was around for a while rehabbing with us. We paid him to do shit.
And that guy made a lot of money in those like 3 years that he didn't play. Man. I mean, he made like $4.5 million over that time.
Yeah, I should go throw out my arm and see if the Cubs will sign me.
Yeah, it's good work if you can get it. You just got to get on that incentive program.
I got a torn rotator cuff from falling off my bike. I could work something out with them.
Give me the ball.
Yeah, give me the ball. Let me out there. I'll hit you with 33 ephuses all freaking day.
Hey, you know. Man, I had 65 at the county fair one time. I'm ready to go.
Oh, man, that's like double what I could throw. Like, people were laughing because, no, I really have no arm. I really did tear my rotator cuff, so I really don't even try to push it because it hurts, like, a lot if I do push it. And so I was at a White Sox game, and they had one of those, you know, speed of the pitch, and I'm there with a couple friends. They're all throwing, like, in the 50s and shit, and they're on their 40s. And they're throwing the 50s. They're feeling good about themselves. And I went up there, and I threw like, you know, 34. And they're like, dude, come on, just try. I'm like, no, seriously, that's how fast they can go. It was like 8-year-old boys, like 8-year-old girls, like throwing like way faster than me, like hitting 43, 44. I'm like, whatever. I probably throw faster with my left hand. I should try that. So anyway, I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's always great to hear it from like a fan of the other team, I think, because, you know, we don't know what's going on with you guys. We're so Cub-centric over here. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to like find out what's going on. And we're both, I should tell everybody that's listening and watching that we're both of our podcasts are on the, what are we called now?
The sports drink. We're on the Sports Drink Podcast Network.
Yeah. We're both on the Sports Drink Podcast Network. So it used to be called Armchair Media. Now it's called Sports Drink. I like Sports Drink. I think it's a great name. They kept getting confused with Barstool. And they didn't want that because, you know,
people can't figure out armchair versus bar stool. That's awesome. Hey,
you just can't name yourself after furniture anymore. That's what it is, you know.
Bar stool has ruined furniture names for everyone.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
I'm going to have to text Dylan. We got to change the name from the Chase Lounge podcast and figure out. Jason.
Yes, figure out something. The armoire or something. You got to figure out something else. So I really appreciate you coming on, and you know, hopefully it won't be as terrible. I mean, at least I don't think it'll be bad weather like 3 years ago. It's going to be cold, but it's not going to be hailing sideways, it seems.
Yeah, let's hope not. But seriously, guys, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a blast, and you know, just excited we get to do this. We are network brethren, so you know, how about this? When the Braves and the Cubs meet in the playoffs, we will do this again.
No, that's way too long a time. It's like 8 years.
Lock us in for 2024. We're there.
We're there.
I'll just come back on in 2 weeks. I'm going to learn a lot about the Reds, and then and you know, next time y'all play them, I can be ready to go.
Yeah, well, we'll actually see the Braves again real soon. I mean, we're going to be done with the Cubs go at the end of April. Just in a few weeks, they'll be down in Atlanta. So
yeah, that's right. You guys come down here.
Yeah, so maybe we will talk again then and see where the teams are then if we're both on the same terrible trajectory or things have improved for both of our teams. So with that, the way we end this show is by saying go Cubs backwards, which is spagog. So I'm going to put you on the spot and try to see if you can do go Braves backwards.
This is my favorite part. Sivarbog.
There you go.
Sivarbog.
All right.
Spagog. On, Doc. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.